panel tonight and symposium to share something of the experiences in international life, and we'll be meeting these people in a moment. I'm a little bit afraid. I'm sure you are too, probably. All these people out here, you know. I know that you're my friends, and I know that you won't bite me and that kind of thing, but I'm still afraid. And I think, you know, maybe with friends like those, we don't need any enemies. I don't know. And we're going to talk about experiencing our world. And this is Marge Escalera. Marge is a friend of mine, and in fact, she was my first missions chairman in Texas a long time ago. And she is. Where were you? Where were you born, Marge?
I was born in Bronx, New York.
Bronx, New York. All the way from up here. Well, I won't ask you how long ago, you know, but she is a miss, Margie Escalera, and she's available, guys. And as a matter of fact, I just wondered if you fellas had been noticing all these good-looking chicks here this week. I haven't been noticing myself, you know, because... Because I have a prize hen at home that's brooding over my children, my kids, my chicks. And but I know you're, I want to say a word to the new directors too while we're on this, because fellas, you'll need to have, and gals, you'll need to have your group campus prayer meetings early in the week here, because by the end of the week there, the students begin to apply Matthew 18:20 literally, which says we're two or three are gathered, and they knock off the three and begin to meet by twos, you know, late at night for campus prayer and for prayer. And so you want to get your group meetings over. They have a way of pairing off. Marge, tell us a little bit about your life.
Well, my parents were in the Army, and they went to New York City from the Dominican Republic, where I have an older brother and sister who were born there. From there, I lived there about a year, so I really don't claim that as my home. We went to Austria for 4 years and got another brother there. Then we came to the United States. It took me a while, but I forgot all Spanish and all German that I knew and just spoke English. We moved about every 2 years, and then we went to one more place overseas to Germany and came back to the United States. And I call Houston home because I've lived there the longest.
Good. It's good to have you.
Thank you.
And on her left is Dave Cooper. And I hadn't known Dave before this week, and it's been good to get to know him. And he's pastor at University Hills Baptist Church in Denver, Colorado. And that's in Colorado. Dave, tell us a little bit about your life. And I won't ask you how long ago you were born, but tell us something where and something about your life and background.
I was born in Mississippi. And left very quickly to go to Alabama. My father and mother were missionaries in Argentina for 35 years. My father's father was a Baptist preacher. My mother's father was a Baptist preacher. I had two uncles who were Baptist preachers. I have a brother who is an ordained Baptist minister, a number of cousins. In fact, in our family, no one has done an honest day's work in three generations.
That's hard to beat. And on his left is Miss Helen Lee, and she's from Korea. Helen, it's good to have you here. And
thank you.
Part. This girl was also in my BSU and when I was in Arlington, Texas, formerly, and came to know the Lord through that. And she'll be sharing some of that tonight as we talk together. And tell us about your life and where you're born and something about your family.
I was born in Seoul, Korea, and I stayed there for a while. Then in 1970, I came over to the States. I went to high school in Dallas for 2 years. Then I went to college at University of Texas at Arlington. I spent there for 4 years. And now I'm at University of Texas Health Science Center at San Antonio studying to be a dentist.
Good. Good to have you. Marge had the experience of serving in Taiwan. And by the way, we have more students from Taiwan here this week. There's about a dozen of them from any other country. And it's good to have you. And I thought it was neat that she would be a journeyman there. She was a journeyman missionary for the 2 years with the Home Mission Board. Foreign Mission Board. Thank you. And I want her to tell you and to share with all of us some of the experiences that she had there as a missionary in another country, some of the problems, fears, or some of the things that were a burden to her life. Would you do that?
Mm-hmm. One of the things I remember the most is the struggle with the language. And I hadn't been there about 3 months when a pastor from the local church was driving me home after teaching a class in his church. And he could speak about 4 or 5 languages, none of which was English. So I was trying to be friendly and offer services and to tell him, I want to teach you English. But I got the wrong word and the wrong tone, and I ended up saying, I want to sleep with you.
She's still a miss, though.
I remember the embarrassment of not being able to communicate in a language. Although I had a degree in my own country, in another country I felt like a child, and even my everyday needs and wants, I wasn't able to communicate because I was in another language. And I could identify with the international students coming here to the United States in their own language. They're very well able to express their deeper thoughts and feelings. But in this language, it's more difficult. Sometimes I felt the loss of pride in becoming childlike and because of this. Then I remember being a foreigner and what it's like to be a foreigner, to be someplace where you don't really belong, and the feeling of walking down the street. Now, I thought I wouldn't have any problem when I went to Taiwan because my hair is black, but it's too curly. And my eyes are dark, but they're too round. My skin is not white, but it's not yellow. So when I walked down the street, everybody noticed. And kids would gather and giggle and punch each other and point to me and say, Weigorin, Weigorin, foreigner, foreigner. And they weren't being unkind. They were being truthful. That's what I was, a foreigner. I was different. I remember being on a bus going to a school function. I taught English in the Chinese universities. That's how we got our contact as a student worker. And I was going to one of the functions, and I happened to be at the back of the bus, and I was going to have to get off at the front. And as I sat there, I said, as soon as I get up, everybody's going to look at me. And I was beginning to feel very self-conscious. Then I remembered something that Marge Caldwell had written in a book, and she said, put your shoulders up and lift your head up high and walk like you own the world, because your father does and you're joint heirs. And you're a world citizen, and you belong. So I decided to step out on that promise, and I walked with all the grace and dignity that you could ever imagine a person could walk with all the way to the front of the bus. I missed the front step, slid off. I slid off and landed on my back on the ground. But I tell you what gave me the strength to get up and walk and to face people to whom I was a foreigner. And that was, I had a group of Chinese friends. Some were Christians and some were not. They were my age, and I belonged. I belonged to that group. And I knew that I belonged because I wasn't company with them. We did unimportant things together. They didn't invite me just because it was unique to have a foreigner with them. It gives you more status, you know, if you go someplace to a party and you're friends with a foreigner. But we did unimportant, everyday things together. And we talked to each other and we shared our deeper inner thoughts. And I knew that I was accepted. And it was on the strength of that acceptance that I was able to walk down the street and face hundreds of people every day, knowing that I was a Weigorin, a foreigner. There were times of loneliness, and I mean times, not all the time, but on holidays, and when my nephews and nieces were born, and my family had crisis. And one particular day, I guess it was 4th of July or something, and I was remembering, boy, I sure would like to sing. My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. And just to see that flag waving in the wind. And I'd gone by the mailbox, and there wasn't any letter for me. And I'd gone by the post office, and the marketplace, and I couldn't buy what I wanted to because I'd forgotten the word. And I was walking down the street, and all the kids were laughing and giggling and pointing to me. And I rounded the corner to my apartment, and I was just feeling sorry for myself. And the little girl who lived next door is about 4 years old, and she saw me coming, and she ran down the aisle, ran down the lane, and she threw up her hands and threw them around my neck. And as I bent over to pick her up, and she embraced me, she absorbed all the loneliness that I had for that day. And it told me that love is universal. And love is not dependent on language or culture. And it can be communicated and transcend all of that. And I thought how much that was like God, who bends down and picks us up, especially when we're down. She taught me a great lesson. Then I guess the last thing would be the nights of going to bed, very exhausted because the students had come, they come every night that we weren't teaching. And to see them and to experience their questioning and to know that I just had to be there. And I said, Lord, if we just had 10 more people here, just 10 more, we could multiply this work by 10. Because these kids are ready to hear, and they've not heard at all. And if we just had 10 from Glorieta out of 3,000 that will be there that year, just think of what we could do here. And then as I taught these kids and put the word in their hearts, and they weren't ready to accept Christ then, they went on the plane to go to the United States to study. And I said, well, what's going to happen to Albert when he goes to Mississippi? Or what's going to happen to Yali when she goes to Canyon? Or to Scott when he goes to Southwest Texas? Is anybody going to know that he's got a seed inside of him that's growing and it has to be watered? Will anybody interrupt his daily routine and to know that he needs to be ministered to? And now that I'm here, my prayer is, Lord, let me be sensitive to know that somebody else has poured something into these people's lives and that there's a seed there that needs to be watered or it will die.
Thank you. Dave, I want you to, as he said a moment ago, he grew up as a missionary kid, and 35 years his folks were there and served in Argentina. And I want you to share with us some of the struggles you had as a youngster and as you grew up as a teenager in another country, the people that were different and foreign to you.
I remember when we came back on our first furlough in 1944, and we went to visit with our relatives who lived in Mississippi, and went to the First Baptist Church in Jackson, Mississippi, for RAs and GAs, and we were introduced as missionaries' children. And the question they ask us is, are you afraid to sleep in the jungle at night? Now, the irony of that is that I was living in a city that had more people in it than the entire state of Mississippi. I lived in the city of Buenos Aires, which at that time had 3.5 million people, and today upwards of 10 million. And I can honestly say that I never experienced any kind of hardship living as a missionary's child. We went down there so that early enough in my life so that I never had a problem with language. Even now, 27 years after I have stopped using Spanish as an everyday language, I can still understand people who speak Spanish. It's a little difficult for me to carry on my end of the conversation because you have to think in the language to converse in it. I didn't have a problem with the language. I attended an American private school, as many other missionaries' kids did, but I didn't have to go away to boarding school. I lived at home and had the tremendous molding influence of my parents on my life. I had the very best of all possible worlds. with the exception that not just as a foreigner, but as a missionary's kid growing up in a foreign country, you never do come to the place where you feel like you're at home. You don't put down roots. You don't dare put down roots because you're not going to stay there. And so consequently, even though my closest friends were not the American kids at the high school, but my Argentine friends, who, by the way, were not Baptist, I can never feel a part of their culture. I can never feel a part of their life. And one of the biggest struggles in my life has happened since I came back, because it's been very difficult for me to put down roots and feel myself in tune with people around me. Now, I've been moderately successful at it because I've been married to the same woman now for 22 years. And she was not an MK. She was a deacon's daughter from Houston, Texas. And you know how hard they are to live with. When I look back on my life growing up, I can remember as a teenager saying, man, I sure wish I could hear American music. What a hardship it is to be an MK. And then I wished we had a car. What a hardship it is to be an MK. But I can honestly tell you that I would not trade one single day of my life for anything different.
Thank you. Helen, we want you to share with us something about your own life and some of the feelings as you came to America and for your education there in college. Some of the fears and some of the problems that you faced as an international student in our nation here, some of the burdens that you carried, and then something about your spiritual pilgrimage and where you are today.
All right. Because my parents' ultimate reason for coming over to the United States was for us to get better educated, my parents were very pushy for us to get educated. I had not had much trouble disciplining myself because the background education that I've had in Korea was similar to that. So I had not had to push myself too hard to sit there 5-6 hours and study. Now, throughout the high school years and by first semester of my college at UTA, I had nothing much to do with other activities other than going to classes and studying the rest of the time. Not that I had any other, I should say that I didn't want to have anything to do with it. And the people that I was around with in high school and college, I didn't feel a part of them. And I could tell that they had nothing much to offer to me. So I finished my first semester of college. And beginning second semester, I had some friends at the dormitories who were, by the way, Christian girls, had invited me to come to the BSU Howdy Party there at 1973. And I had some struggles as to whether to go there or not. But they were consistent enough to come to me and ask me to come several times. And I had to come because of obligation type of thing. So I did. And there at the door, I felt something different that I've never felt before. These kids had something else other than that I've seen those. They had what I see now was love of Christ. Yet they were happy, and they had something to offer to me. And I could tell that they were different by the way they acted. And I had great time there at that night. And thereafter, they had special functions for international students. And I began to get involved. And I began to see how their lives were different from mine. And I began to see and began to want to have that which they had that I was lacking. There by then, around Easter time, they have international student conference in Palestine, Texas each year. There I was invited to come as any other foreign students in Texas. Now there I met some great 500 international students from all around the country, some 80 countries. And I had great opportunities and great experience talking with them and getting to know more about them and getting to know more about the world. There, having that experience there, these girls whom I have spoken of earlier, they had interest in my life, and they began to share with me why they're happy in their lives. And they began to share with me some of the things that Jesus has done in their lives. And at first, surely I knew something about Jesus Christ, but he was not a living God in my life. He was some person who had lived way back then, and it was just part of a story. It had nothing to do with my life. Now, as they began to share, and as I realized that it was more than just a story, and that Jesus was part of their lives, and that was whom that had made all the difference in their lives, I began kind of selfish motivated. Then I began to ask the Lord. Now I see that was what I did, but back then I didn't know what I was doing. I asked something like this. If you are what you say that what they say you are, and then I want to see that happening in my life too. I want to see, and I want to have the joy that they have. And somehow, I began to pray very often. Then I began to pick up my Bible and started reading. I didn't know how to read all this King James Version. Didn't make much sense. But nevertheless, as I see now what had happened, Lord was working in my life and Spirit was touching me. And He was providing to students whom He had touched before, and He was providing me these instances and conferences that I could go and experience what the living Christ had done in people around the world. And there, after having those experiences, it was my decision to make, and it was really hard, I'll tell you the truth. And it took me about a month. Off and on, I would feel good or feel bad. It was, you know, feelings and emotions, a lot of ups and downs. Then as I prayed, I began to see what had happened in my life. The fears and uncertainties that I had was beginning to lessen and lessen, and I began to have confidence in God. And I would pray certain things to ask Him to do it for me, then He would answer. And then I became a Christian. I don't know exact date when it was that I accepted Christ, because I didn't walk down the aisle or I didn't go to Campus Crusade or anything like this. It was just between me and my God. Then it took me for some time. And I know around when that I became a Christian. It was 1973 around May, but I don't know, like I said, exact date. Since then, a lot of things have happened. God has given me the direction of my life. Before I had Christ, I was living everyday life. I was going places that people were going. I was doing things that ordinary people are doing. I had no direction in my life. I didn't know where I'm going. Since God came into my life, He had given me the direction of my life. He shows me one thing at a time, little at a time. And He takes me by the hand and He leads me to that. Other things that had happened, God had given me the privilege to have my parents, have my mother getting closer to Christ. Surely she had accepted Christ when she was a little girl, being a daughter of Methodist pastor. But after she had gotten married and her life had gotten hard on her, she somehow gotten further away from the Lord. And when she had seen the changes in my life since Christ had came, God had spoken her through me, and her life was totally changed. Now we have beautiful relationship between my parents and I. And my younger brother, 1 year later, through, I believe it was Campus Crusade Ministry, that he was saved. And Jay and I are more than brother and sister. We're earthly brother and sister, and on top of that, we're heavenly brother and sister, because God has joined us in spirit. Now, after that, I began to get involved, and I have started taking spiritual food. It wasn't very easy, and it didn't happen all at one day. It's taken me four years, and I'm not here to say I'm all there, because I have a long way to go. But I know, sure, that God is going to take one day at a time, and He's going to show me little at a time. Now, at the University of Texas Health Science Center, where I'm a student of, there we are going to start a new BSU there at the Health Science Center. And because I have received so much from the BSU, I want to take the opportunity of giving those others the chance for them to share, or for them to experience what they could have by accepting Christ. And I'm really excited about starting a new program in San Antonio.
Amen.
Thank you. I don't want to embarrass you, Helen, but I want to share a note about this gal's life that is so meaningful and so thrilling to me, because I remember the day when she walked into my office back there in Arlington, and she laid a $100 bill down for summer missions. And she'd already surrendered to be a summer missionary in the valley in Texas. And she was preparing to go, and yet she was still giving. She came back, and she was going to start the dental school, and didn't have any money, and didn't have any place to stay. And when she started school in August there, the Lord had provided for her, gave her a place to stay, and gave her a $4,000 scholarship. And today, wait a minute. And today she told me that it was over $6,000 of what has been given to her. You really can't outgive the Lord. You really can't. And that's an example of some of the things that God has done in her life that she didn't share with you. And I wanted you to know that. And it's been a thrilling story and experience to be a part of your life, Helen.
Thank you.
My life has been blessed by yours. And I appreciate you all sharing something of your heart and your lives. So I want to share something from my heart with you all about international ministry across our country. You know, as you came in, something that's really exciting to me is it's the international share team. You've got a green sheet, I hope most of you, if you want to take a look at that. We hope next summer, in the summer of 78, for June, July, and August, to have an international share team be made up of four internationals and one American student, which would be the coordinator and member of the team. And the purpose of this team is for Christian internationals to have the opportunity to share across America and visit in the various campuses and universities. They'll be able to visit something like 8 or 10 campuses. They'll be giving their testimonies. They'll be visiting and sharing their lives with internationals. If they have talent and so on, they'll be leading in programs, sort of like our former national teams that have gone before. But this one will be international share team. We have, I have the forms with me this week for the applications for internationals to take one of these and apply. I have the card also prepared for the directors who might like to have them on your campus. If you'd like to consider this and talk with me more about it, we don't have time to go into all the details, but if you'd like to have them on your campus and if you'd like to be considered for the international share team, I want you to take one of these and see me after service, or sometime this week. One of the things, the note at the bottom of this for the directors who are helping them, An international who applies must have special permission papers to work from our United States government, immigration authorities, and also they must, because of the problem with working, and you've got to have permission to work, and our policies at the Sunday School Board say also that we must pay the people who work at the Sunday School Board. We've struggled with this all summer, trying to work away, but this is it. So this is important for those who are directors to help these international students to apply. You must have these papers before we can consider you and go on down the process of appointment and considering internationals. What I want to say is that I think this is one of the most exciting, thrilling opportunities that we've been given, or that we're giving to international students to be a part of the ministry across America in our Baptist student life. And so I want you to pray for this, and I want you to, if you have an international back home that would be possible consideration, why, please let us know and hear from you and write for an application for them. And then another thing that's on my heart is the Regional Christian International Conference. You don't have any literature on that, but there'll be a bulletin out tomorrow evening. But last May, we had a Regional Christian International Conference, and we emphasize the things of spiritual growth and discipleship and quiet time and how to be involved in my BSU as an international, how to be involved in my church, my local church. We spoke on discipleship, we spoke on prayer, we spoke on world vision. We had one of the greatest times at this conference. It was in Lone Star, Texas. We'll have another one this May, May 19 through 21. So put it on your calendars and invite internationals to come to this Christian International Conference. We had 100 internationals at this conference from 23 countries, and in the final service, the challenge was for them to give their lives in ministry and in commitment to Jesus Christ and to their nation. And we had 23 decisions of commitment to Christ and full-time service in the final hour of fellowship there. This is on my heart. This leads me to the third thing that I want to see happen across our nation, that I want to see happen in the ministry for international students, that of discipling their lives, caring for them and loving them, leading them and teaching them and sharing the very best of your life that God has given to you. One of the greatest opportunities that we have in America is to share and disciple international students. When they go back to their nation, they go back with the language that you had problems with already in their country. They go back with the understanding of the culture. They go back with education, and they'll rise to the top. Here are some of the leaders of other nations sitting before you here tonight. They go back with the ability to rise to the top in leaders in their nation and their country. And if they go back, number five, if they go back with a burden and with a commitment of Christ in their lives, they go back with expertise and preparedness that would take missionaries 20 years to attain. And some will never, because you never felt at home. They know, as I shared with them the first night we came together, that this is a Christian conference. And I'm not trying to embarrass any of them as our international friends. And I told them that they would be sharing things of the Christian experience of life this week. And we're not interested in making anybody do anything. 2 Corinthians 4 says, you know, that we don't try to trick anybody into believing anything. All we do is preach the truth, as all those who know us will agree. So we're not interested in tricking or trapping anybody, because the love of Christ does not operate this way. The way I've never had in my experience of working with international students, I never had an international student, when I became their friends and they understood me and knew me, that they refused my love. Internationals, you know, as I was on the trip yesterday, there was some of them, Abdullah, he's sitting up here in the front. And he's from Iran, and we started to walk through the doors of one of those Indian ruins, and he said, this is great. He said, and I thought he was talking about the trip. And he said, "This is so great to be here this week. I'm so happy." And he said, "I'm a new Christian." And then we got back on the bus and we started for Santa Fe. And I sat down beside him and I began to share with him. I said, "Now, Abdullah, now that you're a Christian and you're a new babe in Christ, you need to grow." And so I began to share some scriptures from my heart that God has laid there. And we wrote them down, put them on a card. And you know, discipleship, it was a picture, a symbolic picture. It was like me taking him in my arms as a little babe, and he was sitting there drinking and feeding on the Word of God. And he, when we finished there, well, he said, "Thank you," and smiled, and the joy in his heart. Now listen, you can hang your hat on anything you want to, but Jesus Christ makes a difference. And his spirit and my spirit were one in Christ. Every person in the world needs to know. They need to have the privilege of knowing and hearing about Jesus Christ. We can't make them anything and do anything. We don't have that power. God is in charge of that. But we have the privilege and the responsibility to love them. We don't owe them anything but love. And to have a concern and compassion for their lives. You know that there are 275,000 international students studying in our country today. And they represent 175 countries. And half of the countries of the world are closed to missionaries today. I believe that we have the greatest opportunity in America to share with them and have a part in ministering and discipling their lives to go back to their country with a burden to share the love of Christ with their people. I think it's the greatest opportunity you have and that I have in America today to reach the world with the love of Christ. When you came in also, you're given this little blue sheet. It's talking to, I worked on this and designed it. It's called an international quiz. And it has a little score down there at the bottom and so on. How'd you do? What's your score out there? You know, are you internationally alive? Are you sensitive? Are you internationally aware? Are you internationally blind? Are you internationally dead and need to pray for resurrection? All this thing is, you know, I'm not keeping score. I was gonna have you turn this in, so I could kind of see what kind of percentages. But if it's like some of the other places I've shared with students and shared this little quiz, most of the students did not make 40 or 50 in the whole. And this says something. This is not to make you feel guilty. I want you to use this. What I want you to do, we're not going to pick it up. We're not going to turn it in. Just fill it out. Go ahead and look at it and let it serve as a challenge to your life. And ask God to help you to become internationally sensitive to the students on your campus. And what I want to do in closing tonight, in these final moments, I want you to take this thing and I want you to pin it on the mirror in your bathroom or in your bedroom or in your dorm room or your home, wherever you are. I want you to take this thing and tape it on the corner. As a reminder to help, ask God to help you to have a burden and a vision and a concern to love one international this year. I think about this sea of people, this crowd, what a thrill. What would happen? What an impact. What an impact we could have on the world if each one of you, 3,000 students and directors and state directors, got a burden in your heart to have one international friend this next year and love them. What an impact we could have on the world. Only God knows what might be done. And I contend to say again, as I said a moment ago, people will not refuse genuine love. They will not, because they're hungry. Hungry for it. And whether an international student ever makes a decision, ever commits his life to Christ, that'll be his own decision.
But he needs your love regardless. He needs your concern, your compassion. Will you stand now? Just a minute. Wait a minute. Will you stand as a commitment? We're not going to come forward. And we have in prayer, closing prayer of dedication and commitment, asking God to do what he wants to do in our lives for international students. And you standing, don't stand here unless you can say this. I want to take this as a reminder to have one international friend this year in my life back at school. If you'll do that, let's stand and we'll pray and ask God to help us to follow it through. If you mean that, you stand with me this time. Father, we come before you at this moment to say, we want to be a friend. God, give us vision. Fill our hearts with love. Cause us to overflow into the lives of others on our campuses. Be the kind of men and women in this world that will be redeeming and caring. How exciting, how thrilling this moment is to my life to be a part of discipling and of loving and of sending people and students and internationals around the world with the love of Christ. God, give us world vision. Because you love the whole world. Help us to follow this commitment through with our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.